To save the world, we must first save ourselves. Isn't that a truth? In my early 20s, I was first diagnosed with ADD, attention deficit disorder. I'd done fairly well in school with little effort required. I'm smart enough to figure out how to pass the test. But as I entered the working world, things got a lot harder. I always sensed something wasn't quite wired right in my brain. And as the pace of life quickened and the consequences of missing a thing or, this thing or that began to become amplified, I decided it was time to ask for some help. ADD was the diagnosis I was given, and my doctor attempted to help me find the right medication to help my brain more easily make some of the things, the connections which it seemed that simple, it was simple for some people to make, but I just couldn't make. But I ended up having a really bad reaction to one of the medications that the doctor prescribed, so I decided that for me, I was just going to have to figure this out for myself. That experience led me on a decades-long quest to become an expert on what in the 80s was being hawked as time management. I tried all of the programs. Stephen Covey, Tony Robbins, Zig Ziglar. I was in business at the time. I read and practiced all I could try to get better at connecting what I knew I wanted to get done with what I was actually able to accomplish in a day. I've often said that I am one of the world's foremost experts on time management because I am the most unorganized person you'll ever meet. So this time management thing has really become a lifelong quest for me. I'd try the latest program, I'd buy the latest system being hawked by the latest guru, I'd implement all of their recommendations, I'd get my life back in order, and then the gremlins in my brain would eventually take over and I'd be losing things or missing deadlines or just end up being an anxious mess once again. I know there are people in here that resonate with this messaging. Yeah. I did finally find a process that worked for me in a book by David Allen titled Getting Things Done. If you struggle with being organized or time management, this is the work that I'm recommending these days. He offers a simple process aligned with how we humans tend to take in information and make decisions on what we do day in and day out that I've really found is helpful from helping me, especially as life gets busier and there's more choices to make. I found this to be a good thing. So I've implemented these ideas and they really do help me keep on track. But me being me, I've come to learn that there's value in going back every once in a while for a little system tune-up and make sure that I'm following this thing, which helps keep me straight. So that was one of the things I focused on this summer. I've worked at large companies, I've worked at smaller companies, I've worked at mid-sized nonprofits, small nonprofits, and all of them had these systems in place that when I went to work at them, I just had to get in the system and then all the things that people needed, I just followed the system and it was good. But I came to realize over this past year with you that now that I'm the person that leads the staff, it's my job to put those systems in place. So that was one of the things that I worked on this summer was trying to get more organized in how we do things around here. So, but as often happens, I went back to my resource guide, that David Allen book, and I found a new idea that I hadn't really noticed in all of my earlier readings of this material. One of his concepts is that anything that's going to require more than one step to complete should be thought of as a project. He has this beautifully elegant system for tracking and managing all the steps to ensure a project moves from the idea all the way through all the steps to completion. But there was one step that I had missed that really jumped out at me reviewing the materials this time. It was the reminder to ask, why are we doing this before agreeing to take on any project, right? We all want to say yes. We all want to help people out. Now, I know this isn't rocket science, but oftentimes it's the most profound truths are found when we take time to just focus on the simplest lessons. hence the topic of the thoughts I hope to share with you today, discovering our collective whys. Why do we come together in this weird, wacky, wonderful, sometimes frustrating, always interesting, and frequently misunderstood faith that we call Unitarian Universalism? In this miraculous gathered community that we call Prairie UU Society. It is said that the lessons we need often appear just when they are needed, and this certainly feels true in this instance. My first year, both as a minister in formation and as the minister serving in this community, at its best is really about forming relationships and building trust. Fortunately, this church does a lot of important things really, really well. So I was able to come in here and approach this like this. I didn't have, there wasn't anything on fire. There wasn't anything I needed to try to fix. I could just come in here and get to know you and get to know what this place is all about and develop relationships and begin to try to develop trust so that as we decided to say, okay, what do we want to work on next, we had a good foundation. So I was really grateful for that first year to be able to come in and do that. So hopefully I've done okay with that. And now we can begin the work your board has challenged us to take on this year, which is reviewing the mission and vision of this place to ensure the words that were written down in the past are still pointing us in the right direction. And as I was just reminded, the first question to ask before beginning any endeavor is, why are we doing this? So as I started to think about what I might share today, I began, which is a really good thing I think for all of us you use to do from time to time, is to begin to ponder what my reasons are for coming to church, coming to this church, for choosing this chosen faith of Unitarian Universalism. Many familiar thoughts came to mind. The biggest thing for me, I think, was always community. I was running on the hamster wheel, trying to go as fast as I could, keep up. And I recognized, as working out there on my own, if I fell down, I didn't really have family, there would be nobody there to help pick me up and get me back moving forward. So community and safety and that idea of being held by a community so that I didn't have to face this world alone was a big one for me. As a parent, The idea of having a group of like-minded people coming together to try to help educate the next or help our next generation explore all of these deep questions and wrestle with what it means to be a human and what then should we do and how do we do it together. Religious exploration was a big reason for me, and it may be for many in this room. The idea of having a place to practice our democracy and practice what it means to figure out how to get along with people that have different ideas and different potential ideas of how we might move forward. There are a few places in the world where you can actually practice that these days. The idea of a place that has a history and a shared wisdom that is passed down. The challenge of getting together with different people. Honestly, as I think about it, there's so many tangible things that are kind of my why as to how I get into this church. But ultimately, these days, I think the big one is, for me, is it just is helping me prepare for whatever unexpected thing comes next. That's what it feels like. What is going to come next? We've got a pandemic. We've got environmental crisis. We've got political crisis. We've got all these things. What shoe is going to fall next? And I really think for me, this community and being part of this larger faith tradition helps prepare me so that I can face the world and go, you know what, whatever comes next, I don't have to face it alone. That's a big one for me. So as I tried to continue to organize my thoughts, I kept coming back to a statement that used to be recited every Sunday at my home church back in Seattle. It's adapted from a reading in the back of the hymnal. It's number 471, and you may have heard it, and the words are slightly tweaked for that congregation. But I'll read it, and I think there's a lot to chew on here as we begin to collectively think about why do we come to church. So every week, my home congregation used to recite this together, and they called it a unison affirmation. So let me know what you think. They said, "Love is the doctrine of this congregation. The quest for truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge in freedom, to serve humanity in fellowship, this do we covenant with one another." Now, it's a short statement, but these seven lines pack a lot of theological punch. So as I was attempting to find my whys, I thought it might be helpful to maybe unpack this a little bit. Love is the doctrine of this congregation. Right off the bat, we're challenged. I shared this reading with the covenant group that I was meeting with, and one of the attendees immediately bristled at the word doctrine, because they're good you use, right? Doctrine is a list of beliefs, the approved interpretation, the creed, the dogma. But we are Unitarian Universalists. One of our core tenets of this faith tradition is that we don't demand any shared beliefs. Well, this is true. It really does make it fun to be a UU minister. There's a lot of different things. This is true, but there has to be something that participant in our group that brought challenge to the word agreed that maybe saying love is the foundation of this congregation might more accurately capture the sentiment. And as I think about my list of whys I come to church, seeking a place that is built upon a foundation of love seems like a pretty good idea to me. And from what I've seen, there is a great deal of love shared in this place. In a world that can sometimes seem dark and foreboding, having come, as many do, from families where love is either conditional or non-existent, coming together in a place that is founded upon the ideal of love seems like a pretty good idea. So maybe that's your why. Maybe you come here to practice and be held in a community of love. The quest for truth is its sacrament. And it's another one of those churchy sounding words again. Sacrament is actually a Christian word. It's a ritual that is recognized as being especially important or significant. In Christianity, events like baptism or first communion are considered sacraments, and they mark milestones on a person's journey towards salvation. And although we UUs do tend to recognize the vital psychological importance of marking milestones, this line indicates that one of the things that we define to be of primary importance is a quest for truth. One of my whys, one of the reasons I found resonance with the UU faith, is that while it understands the value of honoring the wisdom that has been identified by those that come before, it also demands that we keep looking for the gaps and continue to fill in the colors of the mosaic until the clearest picture that we can collectively muster is projected onto our walls, which will then be examined and questioned and explored and refined again in an unflinching attempt to understand what is actually true about this unknowable existence that we have somehow had the luck to become awakened to. It is this never-ending quest for truth that compels us to re-examine our mission and vision statements this year. And it is that same quest that has our entire collective association, the UUA, all the congregations of the Unitarian Universalism group, examining the very foundational principles and sources over a multi-year process, those things that seem timeless to us, those seven principles, they are actually being looked at and examined to make sure to see if they need updating, right? We are a people that values what came before and a people that continually keeps our eyes on the horizon. Maybe that's your why. Maybe you value a place that searches and continually searches for what is true. And service is its prayer. All right, here we go again. Prayer. Well, one simple definition I found was prayer is a solemn request for help. So if that be the case, then this passage might be suggesting that in all the ways we look around at the state of things and say, this is such a mess, I don't even know where I would begin to try to fix it. Our faith tradition says, to be of service to the world is the way to be of most help. If I had to quickly name a core strength of this particular community, it would probably be this. People in this community show up to be of service. I can't say that about every church. Some churches, people come, they come to Sunday, and they get fed, and then they go out in the world. This place, y'all show up and you help each other in times of need. It's beautiful to watch. You have an incredible caring committee that works tirelessly to make sure everyone connected to Prairie is cared for and attended to and gets extra support when they need it. You have a social action committee that challenges us all to pick a cause and show up, and on any given week, that's what you all do. Just recently, we had a slew of volunteers on their own set up a booth at the Madison Pride Festival. And another group of us attended a lecture on political organizing, which was really good, by the way. Whenever someone in this community has a need, a call goes out on our listserv, and before you know it, the need is fulfilled. I really do believe that being of service is one of the secret sauces that makes this particular community so special. Perhaps the opportunity to serve your fellow humans is the why that keeps you connected to this place. The next line in that stanza was, to dwell together in peace. Thank goodness, finally an easy one. Surely we can just dwell, right? It's like living, we're hanging out, I'm dwelling. Whatever you want to call it, in peace. That sounds easy, sign me up. Of course, that has that challenging word of together. For many of us, dwelling in our own little bubble is plenty easy enough. It's when we start to bump into other bubbles that we can sometimes get a little bit ruffled. But seriously, is there anything more needed in this world right now, in this moment, than people learning and practicing how to simply dwell together in peace? This church is the place we come together, practice getting along with others. I was meeting with a member a few months back, and she began trying to list all the reasons she stayed connected to Prairie. And in the end, she said, you know, it's just a place where folks are coming together to figure out how to get along. And that's probably the most important thing in the world right now. I couldn't agree more. Perhaps practicing getting along with others that see the world a little bit differently than you is your why for being a member here. To seek knowledge in freedom. This is a big one for many of us today. In a world where news has become fake and facts have seem to have almost no influence over a larger and larger portion of the population, the intention to seek knowledge freely seems a primary need. I come to a place like this to be exposed to new ideas, to have my assumptions challenged, and to be free to explore. If you want to have your assumptions challenged, be a member of a UU church. It's what we do. Perhaps being in a space that allows you the freedom to explore and the opportunity to have your beliefs challenged is one of your whys. Finally, to serve humanity in fellowship. Well, we're back to service, but this time it's slightly different. It's being referenced in being done collectively with others. there's a lot of this faith tradition that cycles from the individual need to the collective need to the whole. And I think this is one of those places where we acknowledge that as much as we might do individually, our efforts are always more amplified when we come together and we can work together for something that's important. So perhaps it's the knowledge that your efforts are amplified when you work together with others in this community that is your reason for being here. And then that final line, thus do we covenant with one another. Y'all were here last year, you know that's my favorite word, covenant. This faith tradition doesn't rely on hell or the risk of eternal damnation to encourage us to follow the angels of our better nature. It is based solely on the promises we make to each other about how we intend to live our lives and how we intend to be together. And that's the most powerful thing there is. So, as we begin to wind down the summer and come back together, although y'all never really went anywhere, the same faces keep showing up. That's one of my favorite parts about being in a new church too, is the same faces show up every week and you get this beautiful reminder of who's in your community. But as we begin to come together and more people start to come back and we really dive into quote unquote the church year, we're gonna be doing a lot of questioning about what is your individual specific why. Why? What is it about this place that you recognize as special that you say, you know what, I'm going to show up, I'm going to be consistent, I'm going to donate my time, I'm going to donate my talent, I'm going to donate my treasure. There is something here. So we're going to be asking the question of why a lot this year. What is your most important reason for being here? Why is this place important? Of the many potential whys, which whys are most important at Prairie right now? What whys are most important in the world right now? And what lessons does our past have to offer that is especially needed right now? So as we come back together this fall and we're thinking about mission and vision, I'm going to plant a couple of seeds because I want everybody in this community to really be thinking about this for yourself when we start to come around and ask this question. We're looking for a short statement. We want to condense. We've got a lot of words. We've got like four paragraphs of missions and visions and bonds of union, which all is accurate stuff. But we really want to start to be able to try to focus and say, what is this community really at its baseline all about? That'll really help us make some decisions as we go forward. So there's three components that I want you to think about. What is the problem or problems this organization, what are the problems that Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society exists to solve? Why is this community here? What do we do, and who do we serve? Who are all the people that we serve? Who are all the entities that we serve? And what results are we trying to achieve? Rather than just coming to church every week because that's what you did last week, rather than volunteering in the way that you do because that's what you've been doing for years, we really want everybody to stop and take a step back and think about why. Why am I doing that? Why am I not doing that? Why am I doing this other thing when I, in my head, I know I want to be doing more of this thing? We're going to be asking this question a lot. So think this year about why you church, both the tangible and the intangible reasons. I think in a consumerist society like we have, we're very used to, I give this, I get this back. I contribute this, I get this. I pay this, I get this service. I pay this, I get this value. And in a lot of ways, church has a little bit of that, right? I make my contributions, I expect I'm gonna get a good Sunday service. I expect our children are gonna have an education experience. I expect there's gonna be ways for me to connect and have fun and meet new people. I expect that we're gonna be making an impact in the world. And all of those things are valid, but I would also challenge you to think about the intangible things that being a part of a church community can bring to us. We want all of these ideas circulating around as we really collectively begin to think about what is it we do here? Why do we do what we do? The world has a lot of needs. We need each other, that is for sure. But I think as a church community, specifically in this day and age, we all need to make sure that we are pulling together and we are pulling in the same direction and that we are pulling with each other. There is so much need. Let us continue to ask that question of why, because the more focused we can get on, the clearer we can get on our why, the more energy we will have to make sure the question is brought to life. May it be so. The training that several of us went to on Wednesday night was talking about how to engage conversations with people that seem to hold beliefs very, very different than yours. It was political organizing, but it really came down to the basic question of it was, don't start with you believe this, I believe this. It started out with a curiosity about what do you value, right? And what you find is when you start about what's your why, people tend to have the same whys. I care about my family. I care about my children. I care about my community. I care about my safety. I care about my well-being. And when you can start at that foundation of what you agree on, then you can start to slowly wade into, well, what's the best way to get there? But if you start at just the solutions, then you've lost the person because you may be starting at a different place. So